Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hello, hello. I'm Quinn Tu, and today I'm your guest host, and we're turning the spotlight on your normal host of the show, Women Who Lead, Michelle Berquist. She's going to be in the hot seat today, and our topic is reinventing yourself. And she's already laughing because she's the queen of reinvention. So
Oh my God.
Afternoon, Michelle. You want to say good afternoon to our viewers?
I totally do. I can't stand it. It's like having someone else introduce me is just so weird. Usually I'm the one introducing others. So this is a weird feeling, but thank you. And I'm excited to turn the tables and get to answer questions and be interrogated. So awesome.
Yeah, we're going to make you as uncomfortable as we can during this half hour, so let's get started. How about, I don't know how much of your background our listeners are familiar with, so do you want to give us an overview of where you've been?
Like as far as background, the Cliff Notes version, I've got a pretty long list, but I will share. I mean, I came from commercial banking. Yeah, okay. Well, I came from commercial banking. That was my, let's just say, my career and my corporate upbringing and growth. And in long, long time ago now, over, 28 years ago, I started in business after having a corporate and commercial banking career that lasted 13 years. So I said enough of the corporate gig because I went through 5 mergers and acquisitions and started out on my own. And CWI is my third rodeo as a business, if I can say that. And we are just celebrating our 9 years and being an association in Southern California. So yay to 9 years.
Wow, wow. So we'll definitely get back to Connected Women of Influence, which you've so lovingly call CWI, and what the members know it as, but most of the people CWI is an unfamiliar acronym, but let's talk about your first 2 rodeos. What were they about?
The first 2 business ventures?
Yes.
Yeah, when I left banking, I actually bought a franchise when I was going to some of these entrepreneur, I don't know if you ever remember, this has been so long ago, but Entrepreneur Magazine used to put on entrepreneur kind of business and opportunity expos. And I remember going to one, not having any idea what kind of business I wanted to do, thinking, I know I don't want to do a vending machine business and, you know, all of that. But I actually bought a franchise when I first started, and it was a human resources and training franchise business based in Texas. So I did supervisory training, management development, executive leadership. Didn't really focus, I could have done it, but I didn't focus on sales training and just really more leadership training. So it was a really incredible time. And I did that for a few years, but found that the franchise that I was a part of just didn't really serve its needs for me to grow a business. So a couple of years into starting a franchise, I turned it and it went away. And what I did was is I started writing business plans for companies that were either launching and starting a new business or they were looking to get funding with their business plan, and did that for 8 years. And it was an incredible, incredible ride. I mean, I had no idea what it would take, but I knew from my banking career when I started matching the planning and doing forecasts and running numbers and getting people financing, that was a really nice niche that I fell into in helping people put together a package as either startup or expanding entrepreneurs to help them get money or raise capital. So that's what I did for 8 years. And then I did my next rodeo. I actually moved from Orange County to San Diego. And at that point, I was looking for something to do differently than help everybody else build their ventures and businesses and get money. I wanted to do something on my own. So my neighbor and I started a corporate gift business. And so we packaged gifts for all kinds of business occasions, from thank yous to special event to corporate gifts to conference centerpieces and, you know, hotel favors and things like that. It was an incredible thing that I did for almost 9 years. Those were the other two rodeos, Quinn.
Even within that, there's so many questions that I want to follow up with. But let me focus you on something. How did a corporate woman in the banking world say, I'm going to go and invest in this franchise in human resources? Help me make that connection. Yeah. Where did you find the boldness to do that and to say, well, I can do this?
Yeah, boldness is probably not a word I use now looking back, but thank you for that. I think because it was, you know, some would say stupidity, but I left a really, you know, great position in banking. But, you know, at the time of when you're going through, you know, you get your fifth merger and acquisition, and the only thing I ever got used to in banking was what new organization was going to acquire the company that I worked at. And I always was going through change and migration, right? It was just, it got really old. And so when I thought about what would I do if I could do anything, I don't, you know, I have to say the time when I started this, I don't think a lot of women had a ton of choices. You know, we're talking many moons ago in a different recession in the early 90s. And I just remember thinking, gosh, what would I do if I could do it? And don't laugh too much, but I am a bit of a talkie. We'll go with that. And I laugh because to find a business venture that allowed me to speak and to train and to consult, which is what I loved, and then matching, you know, some of what I knew from corporate America and interacting with small businesses was a total sweet spot. And it wasn't the franchise part. I mean, I think the franchise part, there was a big, you know, how franchises work is they just so bring you into their business model and they get you excited. And they flew me out to Texas. They wined and dined us. They, you know, it was just like, oh my God, how would I say no, right? But at the same time, what I learned from that is there's really great value in having an awesome attorney that can look at contracts, and you'll laugh at that because you are an attorney, is I had a really awesome attorney that had some things redlined and taken out of my franchise agreement, which was surprising, you know, when we were able to do this, that allowed me to say, look, I did this for 2 years. They helped me get up and running, but I was virtually just ordering books and tapes from this company. And I really had my own training ideas and strategic planning program. And but the biggest thing for me was finding a niche with business plans, because that brought in my banking background, my love of numbers, and then at the same time be able to be an expert, you know, in something besides what everybody else was doing in consulting. I mean, I was a business plan specialist, you know, in the early 90s. So I really, it was an awesome business to do, because I'd see how disorganized so many small businesses and entrepreneurs are, knowing that I myself wasn't as organized as I wanted to be from a plan and a strategy and everything, because I was forcing other businesses to put their game plans down on paper. So it really taught me a lot of just different businesses and how entrepreneurs think. And it was great for 9 years.
Yeah, and that part I can see, and I'm also glad to see that you took what you had skills-wise in the corporate world and applied it to your own business. And I beg to differ from your earlier characterization. I don't think it's stupidity. It definitely requires a certain amount of courage and boldness to switch not only industry, but also go from a certainty of having a paycheck to one where you kill what you kill, right?
So, but you know, this is what's interesting is when you, you know, and this, I don't know the story of every entrepreneur. I just know my story and I've heard a ton of them. It's like, you know, the fact of waking up every morning and saying to yourself, I had no kids, You know, I mean, I wasn't in a situation where I had a family that relied on me for income, and I was pretty young. I was, you know, I was just 30, and I just remember thinking, can I go and drive up to corporate America and go to a job that just isn't me anymore? Do you know what I mean? There's a tipping point where you say to yourself, I just can't do this anymore. But I don't know that I really knew when I first started out, it's like what it really took to be a small business owner, right? Because I've had lots and lots and lots of war wounds and lessons that I've learned the hard way of what not to do. Because that's what really is what is a test, right? If you can do the things, you know, that you have learned the hard way and still stick with it, if everybody knew what it was like to be an entrepreneur and a business owner, I think most people would say, oh my God, I don't want to do that. But you either stick with it and you make the changes and you get scrappy like I had to do, or you get out and you go back to corporate America. And I chose not to do that.
Yeah. I certainly hear your, and I share the same outlook. So walk us through how you went from writing business plans, which is very interactive with different types of businesses, to actually being a business that produced something and had a product at the corporate gift basket. That's also another big transition.
It's a huge one. It's a bold transition, right, Quinn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this one, no, it's, I love these questions. I don't get to talk about this very often. But, you know, the funny part is at the time of when we moved, my husband and I moved down to San Diego from Orange County, he had some really serious health challenges, right? So I don't want to go into all that. But it suffice it to say that at the time when I moved down to San Diego, the question for me was, because I was commuting up to Orange County 3 days a week when we moved down to San Diego, and kind of the same thing, you know, do I want to keep doing this every day? I kept feeling like, gosh, I'm helping all these other businesses find funding, money, helping them get organized through a game plan and a business plan. What is it that I could do that would be building a business beyond telling others and helping others build theirs, right? I think it was, you know, you hit chapter next, and that's for me, again, the search was, what would I do? And I didn't really have an answer, but the interesting part is I was walking one evening because we had a really nice neighborhood where I live. And so we were walking one evening. I was with a friend and, you know, she was sharing with me about a business venture that she was looking to start. And I said, gosh, tell me a little bit about what you're thinking. She was asking questions about funding and her business plan. And of course, I went into consultant mode. And it was really interesting because when she started telling me what she wanted to do and how she had this talent, which was basically packaging items into a gift basket, which I'd seen gift baskets before. I'd been the recipient and I'd sent a ton of them as client gifts.
Sure.
I never really understood how they were made. And so she showed me how they were made, and I got really intrigued, and I said, oh my God, you know, this is something that possibly could be done, you know, for business gifting, because again, I've learned one thing in business, and that, you know, at least from my standpoint, there are riches and niches, right? So the niche for me was, are there basket companies or gift companies that are actually serving the business and industry arena with client gifts, trade show gifts, and whatnot? And I found a really open market for that. And so for me, when we launched this business, the woman that was with me, she was with me for 5 years. She was wonderful. She actually taught me how to make gift baskets, and we grew for 9 years. And then I sold the business in 2006. But we had a really great reputation in San Diego, and I literally was everywhere networking and being visible in San Diego. And we built, you know, quite the empire and showroom and warehouse in San Diego and shipped internationally for business gifts for professional people. And it was incredible. But if any of you think, and especially our listeners, if you're listening and you're going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's crazy is, you know, none of us knew what was going to happen in 2008, right? And I was very lucky, and it was through tragedy. I sold my business in 2007 because my husband got sick, and I had no idea what was coming down the pike in 2008. But I, you know, kind of look up to the heavens and go, thank you so much, because I was able to walk away from a business venture and sell it, again, not at the price I had hoped to, right? But I was able to sell my business and look for the next step. But I probably wouldn't have had a business post 2008 if I had stayed in our business. And that, to me, I'm very thankful for. And it was totally by accident that I got out of a very tricky situation, you know, a difficult situation. But, you know, then, you know, girls still have to work. So for me, this was, okay, rodeo number three is coming up.
Wow. So I totally feel like one of those choose your own adventure books. Do you remember reading those as a kid?
I do.
So I feel like I'm
on
the stage. There are two options. I pick one option, right? And Michelle is off with a franchise. And then I finish that story. And then I pick the other option, and Michelle's off with another thriving
business.
So
I love that business. Yep. So now we're picking the next adventure, right? I'm like, darn.
Yeah. So you exited just in time through no deliberate choice of yours, but it did turn out in hindsight to be a decision. And sometimes in business, that's what it is, right? We have that bit of luck that helps propel us along. So how did you pivot and reinvent yourself again? Where does Connected Women of Influence come in your journey?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when I was taking my business at the time, it was in a distressed situation based on my circumstances with my husband and I. It was interesting because I learned so much of what I didn't do in building this business for 9 years, the corporate gift business, because, you know, I never thought about preparing the business for sale. For me, it was always, we're going to do more, we're going to be bigger, we're going to be more, we're going to hit, you know, the X amount of benchmarks, and we were going to retire on it. And yet, you know, this transition then for Rodeo 3 was, it left me with, I don't know if anyone out there is listeners, but for any business owner, one of the things they always talk about is once you sell your business or you get out of business, even the mind devastation that goes on. Like for me, I felt like I went from something to nothing in a day because I was very active in the community. It's like, you know, everything was turned over to the new company that bought my business. And I to this day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I will never be out of business. You know, I just felt like I went from something to nothing in a day. It was awful. And trying to figure out what you do next, you know, I think so many of us as women, we've been in those situations where we go, I know I have to do something, I just don't know what. And, you know, I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, but I remember going to, you know, different colleagues and talking to them and, you know, having conversations. And there were so many people that I to this day just thank them because I was in a horrible situation, you know, worried about my husband and at the same time worried because I was like, I need to, you know, bring in income, right? That was what I knew I had to do. And so long story short, I wrote a book because I was frustrated and I wanted to do something that, you know, I had time on my hands. I was able to take a break. It's like we were, you know, dealing with my husband and what was going on. But anyway, long story short, I wrote a book and I was traveling around and, you know, bridging every connection I had. And my first book was How to Build a $1 Million Database. And so right now, think, you know, the timing, the economy is crumbling, you know, people are being laid off, you know, companies are looking for every way they can gain dollars, right, and sales in a really crumbling economy. So I was very welcomed on what my message was. And again, that was about a little bit of sheer luck, but my book was passionate on what I had experienced on how people organized and managed their contacts and their database. And what's interesting is that Connected Women of Influence was never something that I sought out and planned to start as a women's association for leaders. What it was frustration for me that I was traveling so much and I was interacting with some of my female colleagues and friends here in the San Diego area and just sharing and craving the fact that it's like I didn't have these great business conversations about how we are doing what we do. At that time, social media was coming, you know, full guns blazed into the marketplace and business was changing because everybody was decimated, you know, from the economic fallout. So we started TWI because for a few of us, we just crave that professional engaging conversation of how we are doing what we do in a changing business economy. And from what we started to what CWI is now is so many moons different than what we even intended. And thankfully, because, you know, now we have a passion, a purpose, a mission, a vision that is incredible, you know, and I didn't start out that way. So when you talk about a business plan or a game plan, boy, we've sure changed since when we first brought a few women together back in 2008 and said, let's have a luncheon together and just be supportive of one another as colleagues. Crazy.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot with this next question. Your first two rodeos kind of wrapped themselves up at around the 9-year mark. And as you mentioned, BWI is
about
the 9-year mark.
This is crazy. I didn't even think of that.
Okay, that's
we've got 9 years on each one. Yeah.
So the question is, are you planning, what do you have in plans for CWI if it's not wrapping up and moving on to your fourth rodeo?
It's totally not. I mean, there is no fourth rodeo in my mind. I think, you know, again, every year teaches you different things, right? I mean, the first year when we started Connected Women of Influence, it was, I don't think we intended to even have the vision like we do now, right? I mean, and then we got serious after the first year of, I call it mess around, right? And I wasn't even full-time in the business when we first started. And then the second year. But I will say there was a tipping point, and I have to give credit to a book that was given to me as a gift by a lovely gentleman who did not tell me he sent this gift, and it drove me crazy for weeks. But it's a book called Start With Why, and it's by Simon Sinek. And, you know, I mean, if any of our listeners haven't read the book, you must read the book if you're in business. And it was just, you know, sometimes there's like right time, right circumstances as a tipping point. And I got this book when we were extremely frustrated, and I didn't feel like we had our purpose and our passion in Connected Women of Influence. I knew we were, you know, moderately growing. It's like, I felt like we were like everybody else. It's like, it was getting kind of stale. And after reading this book and then another one that was almost as phenomenal, I just can't remember the name of it, but it really were tipping points for me that we had to have a different passion and a purpose. And so we found our why. I mean, we really recognized, and this was 2012, is when we started to look at it and say, gosh, we're so not a networking group. We're not, you know, a networking group where we pass business cards and meet each other and that kind of thing. And so I think we grew up from a toddler stage as a business and just said, we want to be this incredible community of women being supportive of one another, sharing, you know, focused on business and industry, right, in our professions or our businesses or what our role is in business. And we wanted to be supportive of one another and have those conversations of how to get ahead, how to bring in clients, how to navigate promotions if it was a different, you know, woman in a profession versus a business owner role. And since then, you know, the membership has been 8,000 times more engaged because now, you know, we know what we're trying to move forward for. And we've opened Orange County and San Diego, and we're just opening LA as a market in October. And there's been quite a few things that have happened that I would have had no idea except for one little word. Why don't we try and we'll see how it goes? That is my motto and my MO in building Connected Women of Influence. It's let's try it, you know, and when members bring up an idea, it's crazy how, you know, one little step of try can lead you to incredible things, which is where we are today.
Absolutely. Oh, that could have been a really good title for this show, too. But in case our listeners were kind of spacing out, because, you know, I tend to space out sometimes, can you sum up the purpose of CWI in a phrase or two?
One sentence, we're just very passionate about women's advancement in business, right? I mean, we all want to flourish. We all want to thrive in our chosen profession, or if it's not chosen, how to maybe start a business where it's like you can hear from other women who have done it and they've left corporate America, or, you know, you interact with women very much about how they want to build business enterprises, right? They're looking to be more successful and scale their business and grow their business. I mean, one of my phrases I love most, Quinn, is we share, we don't tell. You know, we're not about telling you the five things of what you need to do. You hear it from other women who have been there and done it. And it's not that you have senior versus junior women. It's like, I've learned so much over the last couple of years from women who are 30 years my junior. You know, I mean, they're starting out. They know so much about social media and social marketing that I've learned from them, right? A different perspective. So I think it's how much we can bring value to each other by conversations and discussions and just one, we all want something that we want to see differently in how we grow our business or our careers. And number two, we can all offer something that could be of value to other professional women that are looking to do the same thing. And that's what makes CWI incredibly unique. And we also really try to engage our members and utilize their talents and their expertise to showcase them as the leaders that they are through all that we do.
Sure.
Bam.
So that was fantastic. But our time is quickly approaching. And as a last wrap-up question, because I saved the best for last, when you were in crossroads where you had to reinvent yourself, where did you find that courage or that inner drive to do so?
You know, that's a really interesting question because I remember, you know, I don't know, I think I was a teenager. I always said to myself, you know, there's one phrase that's going to define me, and that is, if you don't try, you'll never know, right? And I don't ever want to look back, at least for me. I know there's things that I never want to have regrets, I think was the big thing, but try has been something for me as a middle word. If you don't try, you'll never know, you'll never experience it, you'll never know if you fail at it, you know, but I never look at failure as anything other than, well, let's just figure out another way to do that. And I've heard enough comments from other women who are successful leaders that say, you keep looking for another way to do it. Right. So anyway, that's it. No regrets. I don't want to have regrets. And I know there's still things I want to do, and it's not, you know, to go sailing or to go skydiving or things like that. Business and industry and entrepreneurship, you know, for women to see how they can get ahead when so many women just beat themselves up with that is what I'm extremely passionate about, to see them flourish and thrive. That's what we are about.
And if our listeners wanted to reach out to you for some support or encouragement or just advice, how would you like them to contact you?
Oh, please. That was such a setup question. I love it. But I do enjoy that question because we do get excited over this. If you are a female professional and one, you know, you want to ingratiate yourself with other fabulous women who will really get you if you're focused on accelerating your experience in business and your results, it's like you can go to connectedwomenofinfluence.com, and we would love to know who you are. We are in Southern California right now, but my gosh, raise your hand, complete our attend an event form, and we would love to talk to you and see how we can be supportive of you, and would love to have you and welcome you into our association if that works and we're a good fit. So thank you for the question, Quinn.
You're most welcome. So today I learned, take a walk with you to get a new business idea, try, no regrets, and if I'm in Southern California, I should definitely reach out and attend an event and learn more about Connected Women of Influence, which, full disclosure to the listeners, I am already a full member of CWI, so you didn't have to sell me on that one. But
you are enthusiastically engaged member is who you are, and I love that. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Well, that's our show for today. I'd like to say thank you to the wonderful Michelle Berquist for being our leading lady today, and a special thanks to all of our listeners, as we'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m., but star to that, next Monday is Labor Day, so we will not be on. So look for us next Friday at 2 p.m. where we'll learn about goal settings and the importance of goal settings with Deanna Potter. It's been fun show to be as your guest host today and try to throw some hard questions at Michelle. I hope that she sweated and enjoyed her time on the opposite sides of this table. Thank you for listening, and have a great week, everybody.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.
Did you enjoy it? Oh, good. So that's a little bit about me.